Getting a divorce is never easy for anyone involved, but it is particularly difficult at the Yibin People's Court in China's Sichuan province, where one magistrate recently set a divorce examination that both the husband and the wife must fail in order for their divorce application to be approved. Let's talk about what is this examination of divorce and what is it trying to do?
Yes, let's talk about it, Huyang.
Yes, please.
A court in China's Yibin City, Sichuan Province, has set up a divorce examination to ensure that couples who wish to divorce are absolutely ready to end their marriage, okay? The husband and the wife must fail the test together for their divorce application to be granted, okay? Questions in the examination range from their spouse's favorite food to their in-laws' birthdays, okay? So that's... These questions are, I guess, how well do you know each other to an extent, right? That's what they're going for, but we'll get more in-depth in that here in a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, a couple in their 30s who were among the first to take the exam have reportedly had their divorce application rejected by the court in the city because they performed too well in the exam. I guess they must have gotten a B+ or something like that, and they passed. So in which case, that means you don't get the divorce. But basically... They must have known each other pretty well to be able to do that well, I guess, on the exam. The couple were reported to be a mother of two and her husband, and they applied for a divorce, I guess, on September 14th, according to People's Daily Online. The husband and wife, so they scored like in the B range of what you would expect on a test. That is an incredible 80 and 86 points, respectively. Therefore, they were not allowed to dissolve their marriage. It's like, good job, you scored great, but you can't get divorced, okay? According to the court, both members must score less than a 60% to divorce. So, looking at this, my first thought is, you know, if I want a divorce, I should be allowed to have a divorce in some cases, right? A test isn't necessarily going to make me want to stay in that relationship, even if I score particularly well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
But before we get
into it,
well, whose idea was this and what's included exactly in this paper?
Well, this exam was invented by a guy named Wang Shiyu. He's a judge at the People's Court of Yibin County. And he noticed that divorces accounted for an alarming large percentage of the court's cases, and he decided to do something about it. Well, initially, I thought his intention was to reduce his workload because there were simply too many people filing for a divorce and it's taking up too much of his time. So what he did was he invented an exam for the divorcee or divorcee candidates to take. So the apparently the exam was centered on basic information of the family members' birthdays, anniversary days, and food preferences. Basically, it's a test to assess how much you know about the family and your spouse. So, I was thinking, what is the point of that exam?
Mm-hmm.
And did the couple have the full disclosure before they go on and take the exam? Because otherwise, they wouldn't be allowed to get a divorce if they score high. Mm-hmm. Couldn't they deliberately provide wrong answers to the questions and just get a low mark?
I mean, maybe. But to some extent, maybe they figured, hey, it's worth a shot. Let's see how well we know each other. But regardless, so some people take this test, some people have to take the test. Either way, maybe it's just like an inconvenience. It's not something... When you're ready to call it quits, maybe the last thing you want to do is take a test on how well you know the person you don't want to spend the rest of your life with, right? But to talk further about the test, it's divided into three parts. So it's fill-in-the-blanks, short questions, and statements. The full score is a 100%. That's an A+, okay? So anyways, Lai Ming had talked about some of the questions here. Basic information, family members' birthdays, anniversary dates, food preferences. I'd be in trouble with that. I've always been bad with dates. Some people are bad with names. I'm just very bad with dates. But hopefully my wife would forgive me and we wouldn't get that divorce. there are also other questions. And this is where I think it gets a little silly. Okay. questions such as, when is your partner's parents' birthday?
Ooh, that's
and
a tough one.
What is your partner's favorite food? It goes into more questions about your parents' partner, you know. What responsibility did you take up in this family? Mm-hmm. What did you do good and what did you do bad? What is marriage and family to you? Now, okay, ooh. So family is important, but family is not what's going to keep you together. I mean, one of the most famous love stories in the world, Romeo and Juliet, their families were trying to keep them apart, and in the end, it destroyed them. I mean, I think sometimes family, micromanaging your relationship, and especially this test points to maybe such a huge focus on, it's not about you and your connection necessarily to this person, which might be the reason why you're getting the divorce. But a lot of these questions on this test, from what I've seen, it's more of a focus like, hey, don't think about yourself. Think about the family. Think about your parents. Think about all this stuff, which maybe in some cases is the reason why you rushed into the marriage, why you're getting the divorce. I mean, sure, knowing somebody is a good way to prove whether or not, you know, you spent a lot of time together. But that doesn't necessarily prove you love each other, right? I could maybe answer what my roommate's favorite food was or what he likes to do in his spare time. That doesn't mean I love him and we're going to go get married, you know, but that just means maybe I spent a lot of time with my roommate or my friend or something like this. But then to further ask questions like, you know, knowing your things about your partner's parents or these kind of things, that's not necessarily going to tell me that I had a happy marriage or that I should stay in it. So I also think this test isn't asking the right questions for what it's trying to do.
Oh, that's interesting. But actually,
I'd
be looking at this a little bit differently.
Okay.
As, yes, listen to this. What is marriage and family to you? That can be the title of a huge essay, I feel. And when they say family here, I think maybe in the Chinese context, people are thinking about the little family you created with you and your loved one and your kids.
But one of the questions was your partner's parents, so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's geared towards the direction of like, you know, why are they important in my little family, Hyung?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I'll try to answer it for
yeah,
you,
please.
Sir.
Right.
As if you love me, then you love my family as well. That seems to be the understanding of some people.
But that sounds like such a cookie cutter thing to say. I think sometimes, you know, I think I've heard about it thousands of times. Wives get married and they don't like their mother-in-laws because maybe their mother-in-laws have impossible standards. It's sometimes not so easy to say, oh, we all can just get along and it's great.
Exactly. So that's why when you make an effort,
yeah,
that despite the fact that your mom could be super demanding of me, but I'm trying to make an effort to make my guy happy, that kind of thing could be maybe a cornerstone for the marriage.
Or you could get burned out.
Yes, that's also a could-be scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, I think it's actually touching on maybe some core themes in a marriage, because when you do get married, you start your family, and then the relationship between you and your loved one, your significant other, and also the relationship of the family members, you, your loved one, and your kids, if we're only looking at the small family that you've created for yourself, that's also a bigger issue. That's also maybe, if it's not working well, then could result in a divorce. Well, Lai Ming, what do you think of these questions? Do you think an exam as such might be able to stop some divorces?
I'm still questioning the rationale of this exam. So
yes.
Ryan just mentioned the husband and the wife must both fail the test together for their divorce application to be granted. I'm wondering, well, it takes two to make a perfect marriage. So what if, say, the husband or the wife gets a high score in the marriage, in the test, and the other side sucks, gets horrible scores.
Yeah.
So does that mean the good husband or the good wife get a stuck with the lousy husband and wife, the other spouse?
That's a good question.
Because that's just points to the insanity of this test. It doesn't make sense.
I agree. And also, to an extent, you know, I see this test as just like an initiative in a way to keep people together. suddenly I've, like, in a way, lost the freedom to be able to decide if this person is good for me or not. You know, sometimes everybody automatically jumps on this bandwagon of, oh, divorce is a bad thing. But sometimes divorce is a good thing when a wife is getting abused and beaten. These kind of things are happening and she doesn't have a way out. Now she has to take a test. And just like what you said, Lai Ming, you know, both people have to fail. But if one doesn't, then you're stuck in it. Marriage shouldn't be a prison, right? And in certain circumstances, too, you know, adultery. How could you stand to be with somebody who's spending time and doing the things that you should only do with somebody you got married to, you know, on the side, and you still have to stomach that every day just because of a test? It seems like this test very easily could keep people in what I would think would be called a prison, whereas divorce has such a negative context, but maybe sometimes it's a way out. And, you know, looking at this too, initially we had talked about this couple in their 30s and they had two kids. And, you know, some people might say, but what about the kids? And, you know, I went through my parents' divorce. I don't think it was particularly easy. But I think because it happened when I was younger, I was able to get over it. But I'll tell you this. I had a friend in high school, and his parents had already decided they wanted to get a divorce. But they're like, we're going to... He was the last of X amount of kids, you know, the youngest one. And so... they're like, we're going to wait till he gets out of high school. And so they had stayed together, constantly fighting, constantly making his life so tough. And I remember, you know, he would complain to me about this when we were leaving a movie or just getting something to eat, you know, on the weekends and stuff. He's like, yeah, man, I wish they'd just get a divorce because, you know, sometimes it's like making people stay together is actually worse for the family.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And certainly when a marriage is unhappy, it affects the kids, definitely. But here, I wonder, two things I think we need to highlight. One is no test can lock two people in a marriage. That's against the Chinese marriage law.
Right.
So what this is serving, I suppose, is maybe like a grace period, a cooling off period for couples to take a moment and review their marriage before the divorce.
You think that hasn't happened before? Like what part of you gets to decide somebody's like inner family life? You know, I'm sure before they decided to have a divorce, this had already happened. Probably this thought process was going on for years. Now you've just extended this period. I don't think so many people are just on a whim walking in there and saying, yeah, we got in a fight yesterday and I'm ready to call it quits. You know, I think divorce is a strong thing. I think it comes from lots of experiences. And I think, you know, first of all, we see that here in China, divorce rates have risen, okay? An estimated 2.87 million Chinese marriages have ended in divorce in 2012 alone, a number that is on the rise for the seventh year in a row. But guys, stay calm because, in fact, the United Nations Statistics Division reports that in 2007, that's only 1.6 out of 1,000 marriages that ended in divorce here in China. So still, large number of people are managing to keep it together. That's great. I love that. I love a happy ending. All right. However, this is still up, right? As I had said, it's risen in 7 years. In 1985, that divorce rate was a mere 0.4 out of 1,000. Let's compare this to other countries real quick. In Japan, approximately that's 2.0 out of 1,000 marriages are ending in divorce. In Russia, an average of 4.8 out of 1,000 marriages ended in divorce in 2007. This is interesting, though, and I was surprised by this. In 2008, the U.S. divorce rate was 5.2 per 1,000, dramatically down from 7.9 in 1980. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because, you know, the next part of our research here says what's wrong with our generation, the me generation. Yet I would say, with the statistics I just listed, my generation in the U.S. is managing to keep it together better than my parents did. And yet people have called us more selfish, more you know, just more about ourselves and impulsive. Yet I think maybe to some extent people have always been that way. Yet we have like found ourselves better, maybe in some extent, or communicated more, or via social media or different mediums. But I think also something too that I think maybe in the US that has worked well for my generation is I think we're less strict about certain things in the way of our tradition, I think, as compared to our parents. And that is, you know, I think many times family is a big influence here for marriage here in China. I feel like a lot of friends have gone home to spring break and have felt this feeling from their families of being rushed into something, which I don't think is necessarily present maybe in my generation in the U.S. Maybe it was present in my parents. Rushing into something that is going to be the rest of your life, that's not a race. That's something you take time looking into. I think also with my generation, we're less, I guess, shackled by the religious traditions of you need to get married before you live with them, you know, which maybe my parents were. To an extent, I say this makes a difference. People can agree with me, of course, but I think, you know, before you get into the legal extremities of getting married and pledging yourself to somebody for the rest of your life, making that promise, is it so crazy to sometimes say, hey, maybe we should try to live together? Because my personal opinion is you don't really know somebody until you spend as much time as humanly possible, which you will do when you're married. And that realization is going to be tough if after you get married and then you find, oh my gosh, I can't stand how dirty Ryan is.
Oh, you said it out loud.
I'm clean, okay?
Yes,
you know, sometimes I clean, okay?
Okay, yes, yes, you do look very presentable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyways.
Yes, but Ryan, I think you do offer a really vivid picture and also summary of maybe the me generation in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think here, maybe it's a little bit different. Lai Ming, when you look at this, especially when they say that those born in the 1980s are now the biggest number of people that go into a divorce. Is there something wrong with us?
No, I don't think so.
What is it then?
Because I think, well, take me as an example. My parents, they didn't get a divorce. But during their younger years, they did fight a lot. And that had a lot of negative impact on my psyche. So I imagine it's best for them to have gotten a divorce. And that's the case for most people, for most couples who keep fighting in their life and leave a rather very, very negative impact on their kids' psyche. So I am but this story is a little drastic. The minute I heard about this divorce exam, I was so shocked. That's why I first of all interpreted as a method to reduce the workload on the part of the judge. But then again, the judge get to they have to grade a lot of papers to make sure who can pass.
Yeah, it sounds like more of a workload.
Yeah, more of a work. So I guess this there's a generation gap here. So yeah. Although the story doesn't specify how old this judge was, but I think they belong to the elder generation who still believe that marriage is a good thing and staying in a bad marriage is a good thing.
Yeah, I do want to quickly reference, too, to maybe answer the situation here in China. According to a survey by Tsinghua University, the survey ranked the top 10 factors that influenced marital happiness. So this gives an idea of what's keeping a happy couple together here in China, or what makes a happy couple. Okay, so this is descending in order of importance. The first, starting with love between spouses, of course.
Obviously.
Love, number one. That's, I think, universal, right? Willingness and ability to communicate.
Ooh, that's important.
Yes, communication key. Loyalty, trusting somebody, knowing that that person is always going to be there for you. Children, income, sexual life, relations between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, relationship with in-laws in general, housing conditions, and house allocations. Now, I wouldn't say that's so dramatically different from what you'd see in the U.S., but I do think, you know, I especially like the love between spouses because that is what everything's built on. That's the foundation of this pyramid we call family. And if the love's not there, that's what's most important. So, you know, I think one thing, too, to keep in mind is I think many times the young rush into marriage. It's so easy. I think sometimes it's better to have people tell you instead of, oh, yeah, you should get married in your 20s, your early 20s. I think sometimes it's better to say, hey, you should wait maybe till you're you're closer to your 30s, because I'm a dramatically different person than I was in my early 20s. I think you grow a lot. And race, this isn't a race. This is the rest of your life. So make sure you take time in making a decision that you will have to live with forever. I think in the past, the reason why people got married so young is life expectancy was so low. Oh. That's not our case so much anymore. So I all I'm going to say is, guys, take your time with something like this so that you don't even have to worry about a divorce.
And another findings that the survey found was that people who have been married for less than 3 years were the happiest demographic, while those who have been married for 7 to 10 years were enjoying the marriage the least. Well, I'm thinking, I have this idea that when people just got married, they have this false hope that by working hard, they can just change their spouse a little bit. But after 7 or 10 years, they found out that it's impossible. And they could just give up hope. And that's the point when marriage ideas about divorce starts to kick in.
Yeah, you know, that small period, though, where they find happiness, I think we call that similar to a honeymoon phase. It's so short, you know. But yeah, then the real problems start coming together. And I think in the end, there is still a way to find happiness, but that is compromise, you know, and that, I think, is synonymous with a healthy relationship, along with communication, and then the years just keep ticking for good marriages, and that's always a good thing.
Yes, I think certainly one thing I agree with you guys, that is that understanding or that attempt and effort to try to establish understanding between the two is really very important in a marriage. We'll be back after this short break. Don't go away.